All right, welcome in to the Chase and Big Joe show. We'll have Tim Hasselbeck in just a second. Just found out, this is a tough one. Dolly Parton has passed away, according to TMZ and plenty of other outlets as well. Dolly Parton passed away today. That's all the details we got right now, but they're all reporting that 80 years old, legendary singer-songwriter Dolly Parton has passed away at the age of 80. And, oh, man, that's just that terrible. We'll talk more about that later on, but just passing that on with everything. With that, let's bring in our good friend Tim Hasselbeck to the Chase and Big Joe show right there. Tim Hasselbeck, each week sponsored by, segment brought to you by Southeast Financial Credit Union, who on your financial journey with you every step of the way. Tim, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Good to be on with you.
Always with you. Let's talk some football now that we get into. Obviously, you watch Cam Ward on Sunday night. A lot of concern here and there. Some say don't worry about it. Some say do worry about it. I'd like to know where Tim Hasselbeck lands, because we're all going to follow what Tim Hasselbeck says. Your thoughts on Sunday night, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I think it feels like it's a continuation of a pattern that feels like, you know, and I think this is what you mentioned a week ago, and I think Chase was touching on it as well, was that you see other people having success, you know, and a lot of success. And in some cases, you know, guys that aren't starters, but maybe one day hope to be. And I think ultimately that's probably the discouraging thing about just where it looks like, you know, not just Cam is, but the offense is heading into year two. I think, you know, without sounding the alarms, because if you start off 3-0, no one's going to be talking about the preseason.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't feel like it's, you know, I don't feel like anybody's riding high going into the season.
And, you know, something else too, the ball security, I know as a quarterback, that's got to drive you crazy, does it not?
It's a huge thing for me. You know, early on in my career, you know, I had a coach kind of talk about how, you know, everyone talks about interceptions for quarterbacks, but truthfully, fumbles are worse than interceptions because of where they happen. You know, there are times, you know, 3rd and 13, you can be like, oh, you know, like it wasn't great to throw that interception, but based on where it happened, you know, net result, if you had punted on 4th down, you know, we traded 15 yards. Not that that's ideal, certainly not, but that's drastically different than a turnover behind your line of scrimmage, whether it's a fumbled snap, a fumbled exchange, carelessness in the pocket. And then, like, as I got older as a player, you know, Kurt Warner was a teammate of mine in Arizona. And Kurt Warner had been an unbelievable player. He had really struggled with ball security and was why he wasn't playing in Arizona. And he switched to wearing gloves. And part of it was, they essentially told him, look, if you can take care of the ball security issues, then we'll play you again. And that was an effort to be better with the ball. He did that and, you know, ultimately led the Cardinals back to a Super Bowl, probably helped lead his career to the Hall of Fame. And it's critical. So I do think, and it's a little bit what I was talking to you guys about last week in terms of Cam's mechanics, I do think that there is a, I don't want to say carelessness, because I think that it's just kind of been an allowed coached thing because of his ability as a thrower. But I think there's been a sloppiness with ball security that, that I would be nervous about. I would just be nervous about how it's gone in terms of one hand off the ball, separating the ball, lowering the ball, and doing all of those things in traffic.
Is there, I've wrecking my brain, because Chase asked me if there's a drill for that for quarterbacks, and I can't remember one. Do you have a drill for quarterbacks not to drop the ball?
Oh, well, in terms of not dropping the ball, yeah, there are all kinds of things that you can do in terms of not dropping the ball, in terms of, as you're saying, your throwing motion to shorten it. If you're asking that, yeah, like, you know, and a lot of it is, you know, just kind of slowly creating the muscle memory of not dropping it. So it takes time, but there's no question that people have shortened, elongated throwing motions, right? Like Josh Allen would be the most recent example of an elongated throwing motion for a big kind of long levered guy who has shortened it. But then if you're talking about you know, whether it's patting the football before you throw it, whether it's dropping the football, just, you know, it's like when you take off to run, taking your left hand off the ball and dropping the football. There are all kinds of things you can do. The most simple one is if you're a right-handed thrower, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, you're grabbing the football, like in your brain even, you're grabbing the football with your right hand. If you grab the football with your left hand, you essentially carry the football with your left hand, and you don't grab it with your right hand until you go to throw it. Like, if you just kind of start that routine and practice, that'll help you. Like, if you take off and run, you do things like that, that'll prevent you from separating your hand from the football and turning and run and, you know, having it chopped out from behind or anything like that. So there are all kinds of things that you can do. And I think what happens is, you know, you just look at, you know, Mahomes or other quarterbacks that have been, you know, amazing at creating offense. You know, they kind of have gotten away from some, like, fundamentals of playing the quarterback position and keep the two hands on the football. And that's great, but that you gotta learn to walk before you can run.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck's on the line with us. Tim, kind of staying on the same side of the football there on the offense. You know, throughout the preseason, we've heard, you know, a few good things from guys like Dan Moore Jr. and J.C. Latham, the two, you know, anchors on the mm-hmm. left and right tackle. Because of that, not hearing a lot from the offensive line, is that somewhat of a concern, and could that also contribute to maybe the lack of production from Cam Ward throughout the preseason?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think generally speaking in preseason games, you know, the O and D lines are, you know, there should be no mismatches, right? There's like, and I can't say that, like, I've seen the Titans been like, man, like, Cam's just not been set up to be in a situation to have success. And I think you got to really look at the quarterback position first before you start to blame it on other things. Like, Cleveland would be a great example of that. You know, like, kind of look at the quarterback situation there and go, like, was it Deshaun, or is it, you know, the guys in front of him not playing great? And truthfully, like, it's just like, no, just make the throw, you know? And so I don't know that, I'm not saying that it's been perfect and it's never going to be perfect pocket or anything like that. But if you're the number one overall pick and you're playing in preseason games, even if you're playing in preseason games with not the five that you're going to have during the year, but you're also not playing against, you know, the elite of the elite in terms of what you're going to face from a D-line perspective during the season, I would expect the quarterback to be able to play on time, manage the pocket, to essentially be an eraser for anything that's not perfect. Like, that's the quarterback's job. And not to say that, like, there isn't responsibility for the O-line. There most certainly is. But like, Peyton Manning wasn't sacked a lot, and it wasn't because his O-line was better than everyone else's. It was because he could play on time. He could anticipate. He could move in the pocket. He, you know, could make throws when, you know, there were people around him. Those things are still required of somebody that's going to be an elite quarterback.
Yeah, that was a conversation Joe and I kind of had yesterday reacting to, you know, Cam Ward's performance Sunday, was that we feel like probably his internal clock in his head of being in the pocket, like, uh-oh, here comes the pressure, one Mississippi, two, stick with your first read and not going through all your read progressions.
I think it's important to kind of to get through it all before you escape out and run. One of the biggest things I think that, and I would say this is the case for any level of quarterback, okay? If a quarterback looks, you know, kind of like looks at the primary read, maybe even gets to the second, if the next reaction is escape outside to your throwing hand, that's a horrible sign. If your next reaction after that is escape outside to your throwing hand or escape outside the pocket deep away from your throwing hand, that's almost as bad. What you want to see is a guy getting through his progression and climbing vertically in the pocket. And not every time do you have a chance to climb, like, directly vertical. But if the desire is always to escape outside, you will never be good in the NFL. You won't be. You need to be able to climb vertical in the pocket. There's a couple things that happen. One, it allows your tackles to be able to run people past you, which all tackles need to be able to do. You can't have guys escaping to 10, 11 yards deep in the pocket. It's impossible to protect the elite athletes coming off the edge. The other thing that happens is that it forces the defense, even for non-throwing quarterbacks, to react to a quarterback that is climbing vertically in the pocket. And when you're climbing vertically, you're not shutting off areas of the field that you can throw the football to. So, to me, that's the biggest thing. You see so much of it in the preseason where it's like, 1-2, oh my gosh, I'm going to escape outside. And I think when you see that, and I take the same thing with, you know, approach with my high school quarterbacks. It's like, look, if that's what you're doing, all you are doing is telling me that you don't know and you're not confident enough to climb in the pocket and go through your entire read. Like, and so to me, that 100% can be taught and coached. And if guys aren't doing it, I think it's bad on a lot of levels.
Tim, one more for me before I toss it over to Joe. After Sunday's game, Robert Saleh spoke to the media and was asked about wide receiver Carnell Tate. And he mentions, you know, Titans are not scheming to get Carnell Tate open. So they're just staying very vanilla, which is, you know, very little motion and moving around for Carnell Tate. For a first-round draft pick and their first pick in this past year's draft, to me, why even play him throughout the preseason if you're not trying to scheme him to get open? Because that's just, it's hindering the chemistry a little bit, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Well, no, because I think you're running your base stuff, right? And so I think you're running your base stuff in a lot of the maybe nuanced specialty stuff that you will do that incorporate his skill set during the year is going to be built off of your base stuff. So you, before you want to build your whole offense around a guy, you want to make sure that he understands kind of the nuts and bolts of what you're doing. And then on top of that, you know, he's not the only player that you're evaluating in terms of what he can and can't do. You know, maybe you start to uncover what other guys are able to do and how you would use them. So that's not unusual to not be scheming for players in the preseason. I think that's typically a good idea.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Tim Hasselbeck, segment sponsored by Southeast Financial Credit Union, who on your financial journey with you every step of the way. Check out all they can do for you at southeastfinancial.org. Tim, what I hate, what Cam Ward does, it drives me crazy. I hate that he drops out of the pocket, keeps backpedaling. As a lineman, I'm taught to turn those guys outside if they're rushing me. The quarterback steps up. He doesn't do that, and it drives me crazy. Why does he not step up in the pocket?
Well, I think it's probably not being enforced, right? Like when I played with Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia, he would do that. They had to coach it out of him, and they coached it out of him. And you know, I think Trey Thomas was his left tackle at the time, and all of a sudden it was like, okay, we can be friends again. So I mean, you're exactly right about that. Now, listen, it's not like there haven't been some guys that have had success with it. Drew Brees, in many respects, like he would retreat at times. Now, he also would climb, and so I think it made him unpredictable in terms of where you could find him in the pocket. That's where I think that it gets a little bit dangerous, you know, in terms of if it just feels like there is a predictable or habitual retreat in the pocket, and so now you're extremely deep. You're going to get hit a lot. You're going to get sacked a lot. You're going to have a lot of negative plays. And quite frankly, you're going to have ball security issues with those things happening in the pocket.
Do you think he goes out and because he has no protection, basically, he looks at the one read and says, all right, that guy's covered. I'm out. I'm going to do my own thing now? Because I saw a lot of that towards the last part of last year, and I kind of understand that. But how do you coach that out of him? Is you've got to have a protective offensive line? Is it a work in progress? All these questions, like, we shouldn't have right now.
Yeah, I feel like in preseason games, you should be like, hey, man, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get through the entire thing. I want you to get through the entire progression before we bail. Like let's do that. Like even in practice, let's do that. Because you know, I think giving too much freedom to creating for a guy that's struggling playing in structure, I think you're never going to get better playing in structure. And I think in order to be good consistently over a long period of time, you need to be able to play in structure. I mean, I think it's ultimately that simple. You don't want to take a guy's playmaking ability away. You certainly don't want to do that, okay? But a guy having playmaking ability that can't play in the structure of your offense, I think is going to be a short-lived, a short-lived and a very inconsistent era of quarterback play. And I don't think it's worth that kind of investment.
I agree on that. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more Tim Hasselbeck on the other side, brought to you by Southeast Financial Credit Union. That's right here on 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. We'll continue our segment with Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Southeast Financial Credit Union, who on your financial journey, Southeast Financial Credit Union is with you every step of the way.
Tim, getting to the college football aspect of all this, local here in Nashville, Vanderbilt announcing Blaise Berlewitz as a starting quarterback. A quarterback you were familiar with last year in high school football, that is, Jared Curtis. What are your thoughts on Clark Lee making the decision to put Berlewitz in the quarterback in charge?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think when something like that happens, it probably has to do with, like truly has to do with what he feels like somebody's readiness is. And I would say the thing with, Jared, like in high school, he just was bigger, faster, stronger than everybody. Right. I mean, I just like ultimately, just like his own team, especially, I mean, he'd have been their best right guard if he wanted to be, I think he's just like that physically talented. And so it's a different world when you go play SEC football with, incredible athletes littered all over the field every time you play. And so, I say all that to say that, there is a,
learning curve
skill to in order to play the position, there's things that you need to be able to do at a high level in order to give your team a chance to win. So, and then on the other side of it, not to make it all about Curtis, because I think that, I think Blaise is a good player. And he's a talented kid, and he has time on task in their offense, and I would assume has better command of it than Jared Curtis does. So, I don't know that it's ever an easy decision when a head coach has to essentially name somebody a starter when all of the expectations were that somebody else was going to be the starter outside. But typically when a coach makes that decision internally, guys probably feel like, yeah, this was clearly the right thing to do.
Yeah, I was mentioning this to Joe earlier. Clark Lee didn't win SEC Coach of the Year for no reason. Like, I feel like every single decision he makes is calculated, like chess. Like, each move he's making is a calculated move. And I think for Blaise Berlewitz's case, he's been with Tim Beck when he was at New Mexico State, and now that they've all transitioned over to this Vanderbilt offense, I think he understands the job at hand, the continuity with the offense. And to your point about Jared Curtis, I think with the way Curtis came from, Nashville Christian, obviously the closest game they played was against Innsworth, and obviously you were the head coach there, so that game goes to overtime. I do agree to the point that you mentioned that he was just bigger, faster, stronger than the, team he was going up against. So,
against us, I mean, I think he had two quarterback sneaks from the 3-yard line, right? Like, that just, that's, he is bigger, faster, stronger, right? I mean, it just is. If I think back to that game a year ago, like we couldn't tackle him, right? Like, the passing was fine, but it was the running that was a huge issue at the high school level. However tall he is, 6'3", 6'4", 215, 220 pounds. And then, the thing that I thought was incredibly impressive about him is that his, his shake, his elusiveness for a guy that was, really a kid that was that size, right? Like that to me was what was so rare about him. Like, we would have a free runner with a talented kid, pursuing him. And, it wasn't like he had to break a tackle. Like, he wouldn't have been down in one hand touch, right? So that's where I think it ends up being different when you have, like, elite pass rushers at the college level, linebackers that are longer and faster, safeties that can close and play differently. That just physically changes the game.
Yeah, and also, too, Tim, like, even if he were to go, if he would have been, you know, going to Georgia, he's probably backing up Gunnar Stockton and getting paid the same amount of money. And for Vanderbilt, this is uncharted waters. This is something they've never been in a position to bring in a big starred quarterback and pay him that much money. So, once again, another pat on the back to Clark Lee for making the right decision on paper.
Yeah, and quite frankly, like, some of the quarterbacks don't always realize it, but sometimes the best thing is to not play. You know, some guys just, like, they need it. There's benefit from it. Expectations for Vandy football are extremely high. Diego Pavia was incredibly productive and efficient. If they're not able to do that, you know, they're you know, there'll be a letdown, even though, you know, the history of the program, whatever, like, there'll be a letdown, like, it's not exactly the same as it was last year. And so, you know, I think ultimately, you know, not having those battle scars isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world.
It is. Tim, you said something that really struck a chord with me earlier. You said that your phone – hey, Tim.
Are you guys hearing this noise I'm hearing?
Yeah. We are. I think your phone's getting hacked. Hey, we're going to call you right back.
How is that my phone?
It's not.
Like a chainsaw. What are we
talking about? We're gonna call you right back in 1 second, all right? Don't go anywhere. I got a question for you. So we're going to – Parker's going to re-effort getting Tim Hasselbeck on the phone with us.
I think Tim was attending the Timber Games. Is that what that's called?
It sounded like that.
You get the
that.
Big chainsaw.
I got a few more questions for him that I think that – he hit some really – I love talking to him. He's got some really good points, which we get into. And, again, the other news today is Dolly Parton has passed away at 80 years old. All the TV stations are running with the news. It's terrible. What a sweet woman. So Dolly Parton passed away at 80 years old.
God bless her.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that later on in the show today as well, too. So until we get Tim back on, a few more questions with that.
Walt Wells, the coach of the Chase McJoe Show. Tim Hasselbeck, the quarterback coach and also head coach of Innsworth Tigers.
We got it. Parker, we good? All right, Tim, you there, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Joe, that definitely was you. I mean,
real. We thought you were the Timber game.
That's right. We're good now. You said something when talking about Jared Curtis. You said the team knows. And I think that's so underrated because we all of us that played football, when a coach makes a decision, the team knows, right? Whether or not that's the guy, that's not the guy, but the team knows. Like, your team knows everything about that football team. When you make a decision, a player, if a guy needs to be played, not being played, the team knows, right?
100%. You know, it's one of the reasons, like a lot of times we will watch film as a team, right? Because – you know, if you watch film as a team and guys are hearing corrections, you know, from film in front of everybody else, like, you know, there's a standard of expectation in terms of how guys, you know, should perform. And, it's what the expectation of that is. And so when you coach it in front of everybody, it's like, oh, okay. Like, man, he gets corrected a lot for making mental mistakes or, I've heard that coaching point on that protection before. I'm not sure why he did that. Or I've talked, you know, I've heard that coaching point on, where you align versus, you know, that formation, all of those different things. Right. And so, you know, when somebody it's like, well, why is Joey playing over Tommy? It's like, well, I mean, Tommy gets praised a lot in practice for doing the right thing. And we're watching the film and Joey, man, like they seem like they always have to do, you know, correct something on him. So like, to me, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't have people coming into the office being like, hey, why am I not playing? It's like, it's kind of obvious, right? It's
yes.
Now you might have fans that are like, wait a second, why is he not playing? It's like, well, I mean, like, it's because you're not there hearing all the, you know, about the mistakes the guy's making.
Exactly. Let's go to Knoxville. They're starting Faison Branding, a true freshman at quarterback. And look, you play the position at a high level. I mean, there's a lot of pressure. And so for Josh Heupel to trust his offense to a true freshman means that guy is pretty special, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, he was, I think in terms of physical ability, it's rare to see high school quarterbacks come out. I mean, no different than Jared Curtis, like to see high school quarterbacks that have the ability that he has. And, you know, so that's going to be attractive. And then, you know, just kind of speak candidly, you know, if you look at if you look at how it typically goes in the SEC, you know, there are guys that have proved that they can play at the FBS level that are the starters. This is a rare scenario. And I think, you know, it kind of makes me think two things. One, I don't believe that Tennessee has kind of stocked the quarterback room probably how they should have, if I'm just being candid, in terms of investing in the position. And, you know, because of that, they better be right about Faison. They better be right, because you could easily go to the FBS level, not necessarily make it a huge part of your salary cap and or your, you know, salary allotment, and go find a high level starter to bring to Tennessee. Like that would easily be done. Like you can outbid a lot of schools. So the fact that they're going in with the stable of quarterbacks that they have,
right,
either means that Heupel's a genius and he got it right, or they understocked the position.
It'd be interesting to watch. All right, one more, and this happened Friday night, and I cannot wait. And Dr. Crane and I talked about this. I had a healthy debate on X all weekend about this call. Shotgun from the one-yard line, Tim. You know how I feel about this, and one of your another high school team lost a game, shotgun at the half-yard line. I don't understand it, Tim. Am I old school? Do I need to get out of the way, I think? Because I don't like it when the ball is snapped and the quarterback hands off to running back at the five-yard line. He's got no head of steam. He's met at the two and got nowhere to go. Am I wrong? Am I dying on the wrong hill here?
Wait a minute. So the score, did it work?
It did not work. It never works.
Oh, so then it did. So it wasn't a good idea.
I'm going to hang up on you.
It wasn't a good idea.
It's not a good idea. Tell me why it's a good idea. I don't understand this.
John Fox, I've talked to you guys about John Fox a few times. You know, he's one of the few people on the planet that have taken two NFL franchises to the Super Bowl, right? Did it
right.
with the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. An insanely successful defensive coach in the NFL for a long time. You know, I don't know that people necessarily view him that way, but like he's really, really good. And just one time I was sitting with him at ESPN, we worked together for a few years, and he essentially said what you're saying to me, which was, he's like, I will never understand it. He's like, look, I'm a defensive guy, but I would never understand it. And Jeff Saturday was there with us, you know, a longtime center for
yeah.
Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. And John Fox was like, I'll never understand it. Like, you're trying to get, in some cases, not even a yard, a half a yard, a foot, whatever. And you, exactly like you said, you bring it back 5 yards in order to move it forward.
Right.
And he's like, I'll never understand it. And the funniest thing is Jeff Saturday is laughing. He's like, you're telling me. He's like, I could get you a yard before the play ever even happened. he just kind of slowly move that thing forward without the officials really knowing it. Like, and so, yeah, I mean, be unlikely. Hey, listen, I appreciate you calling me after our big win Friday night, Joe. So, but one of the things I could tell you, it could happen, but it probably will not be our first choice to be in shotgun if we get that scenario.
Okay. Well, now it's a better explanation. I feel better. And the thing was, there was this all-day debate on social media, a healthy football, no name calling, just why and why not. And it was really refreshing because it was like all day long about this play that was called. And so I just wanted to get – I waited to really do anything till we got your opinion on this.
I think, honestly, I'm just happy to hear that there was – an X, Twitter, whatever, healthy debate.
Yes.
It was just healthy. There was no name calling.
None.
There was no insulting. It was just fruitful information probably from everybody participating.
It was good. Hey, man, we always appreciate you. Best of luck. By the way, I had Jeff Brothers on. You guys played Nashville Christian Friday night.
Yeah.
He was listening when you said that you have a new quarterback behind center. And our show is all-encompassing. Just letting you know that Jeff Brothers knows.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have their game film from last week, too, so everybody knows what we got going on. So,
no secrets.
No more secrets, especially with the way these kids are posting on social media now. They might as well just put our playbook out there.
Right, do that. All right, Coach, we hope to talk to you Friday night. Thank you, as always, Tim.
All right, see you, fellas.
All right, it's Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Southeast Financial Credit. And, hey, you remember your first car, your first auto loan? Those first set of keys means freedom, but it can also be a young adult's first experience with borrowing and building credit. Southeast Financial Credit Union can help families with auto financing while encouraging responsible borrowing from the start. It's pretty simple. Visit southeastfinancial.org for more information. Southeastfinancial.org. Southeast Financial Credit Union, on your financial journey with you every step of the way. We come back, it's all about Dolly Parton.
Yep.
Dolly Parton has passed away at the age of 80 years old. We want to hear from you. 615-737-1025.